Genesis chapter 23, verses 1 to 20.
Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. He said, "I am an alien and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here, so I can bury my dead." The Hittites replied to Abraham, "Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead." Then Abraham rose and bowed down before the people of the land, the Hittites. He said to them, "If you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf. So he will sell me the cave of Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you." Ephron the Hittite was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites who had come to the gate of his city. "No, my lord," he said, "listen to me. I give you the field and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead." Again, Abraham bowed before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, "Listen to me if you will. I will pay the price of the field, accept it from me so I can bury my dead there." Ephron answered, "Abraham, listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that between me and you? Bury your dead." Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he has named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in Machpelah, near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees with the borders of the field, was deeded to Abraham and his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. Afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah, near Mamre, which is at Hebron in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site.
Let's leave your Bibles open there. But before we get into it, let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word now, we pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that you would help us to be attentive to what your Spirit is saying to our hearts and our minds today. And Lord, I pray that you would guide my words, that they might glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So every now and again, I'll have somebody ask me what it is that made me leave my previous occupation and go to Bible college, or what made us go into full-time ministry. And my answer is always that Tamara and I went to a conference in Dubbo, and we were challenged to think from an eternal perspective. But before we went to Bible college, we thought we were doing just that. We're involved in our local church in lots of different ways. I was the youth leader and in our congregation, and I was also a deacon. I would regularly lead church services, not very well, but I did, and I would occasionally preach. And I also had various gospel opportunities in my workplace. But despite the fact that I was serving the Lord in lots of different ways, I was also fighting a battle in my own heart. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I wanted to do it on my own terms. I wanted to be a part of his kingdom, but I also wanted to build a kingdom of my own. I wanted to build my business. I wanted it to be a very good business. I wanted to expand it. We also wanted to extend our house, build our property up. And I wanted to own nice cars. And none of those things are wrong in themselves if you have the means to do them and if you're able to hold on to those things loosely. But at that conference, the Holy Spirit showed me that my loyalties were divided. I was not just living in this world, but I also wanted a big slice of it for myself. And so I was convicted to let go of the life that I wanted to live for myself and to trust God with a future. But this battle isn't unique to me or to Mara, nor is it one that we as Christians face once and then we've got it sorted. This battle is a battle that goes on in our hearts and keeps going on our hearts, no matter how long we've been a Christian, no matter how old we are, no matter what stage of life we're in. God has called us all to live in this world. And as we do that, we can become so comfortable in the here and now that we forget why we are here and what God has called us to do. Instead of thinking from an eternal perspective, we can so easily get caught up in our own lives. The financially successful life that we want to have, the comfortable retirement where our time belongs to us. And without even thinking about it, we invest in what is in front of us instead of the hope that is to come. But today's passage is reminding those who trust in Jesus to live with an eternal perspective and to trust that God will fulfill every one of his promises, because this world is not our home. And there are much, much greater blessings than anything this life has to offer in the age that is to come. And so firstly, today's passage is showing us that trusting in God's promises means that we do not grieve without hope. Abraham and Sarah were already married when they left Ur of the Chaldeans and moved to Haran. And then later, as they moved to the place that God would show them, Sarah had partnered with Abraham throughout all those years of waiting and trusting in God's promise, until Sarah finally gave birth at the age of 90 years of age to the heir that was promised to Abraham 25 years earlier. But now Abraham was mourning the loss of the woman that he had shared his life with. And yet, as Abraham mourned this really, really significant loss, he didn't grieve as those without hope. He didn't give in to despair, and he didn't forget God's faithfulness to his promises. In the previous chapter, we saw that Abraham was willing to follow God's command way beyond what he understood, because he believed that God would be faithful to his promise. He was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, believing that God could even raise him from the dead. And as Abraham faced the loss of his beloved wife of all those years, he faced it with the same kind of confidence and hope. He was in pain. He was hurting. But despite his pain and sadness, he was looking forward to the day when God would fulfill every single one of his promises. And this same hope applies to everyone who has faith in Jesus. No matter what we're going through or have gone through, no matter how great the pain or the loss, if we have faith in Jesus, we do not grieve as those without hope. We grieve as those who long for the day when Jesus will return to make all things new. The day when there'll be no more crying or mourning, because the old order will have passed away. Because even in those times of deep anguish and pain, we can look forward to the day when God will fulfill every one of his promises and make everything right and good again. Secondly, trusting in God's promises means living as strangers in a foreign land. In chapter 12, God had called Abraham to leave his homeland and to go to the place that God would show him. And for all those years, Abraham had lived as a stranger in a foreign land. The people around him had different customs, different cultures, and they worshipped man-made gods. And so you can imagine if there was any time when Abraham would have wanted to go back to Ur of the Chaldeans, back to his homeland, back to the people that he knew, it would have been the time when he was grieving the loss of his beloved wife, Sarah. But instead of traveling back to Ur and burying his wife amongst his own people, in the place where his ancestors had been buried for hundreds of years, Abraham chose to do what God had called him to do and continued to stay in the land that God had showed him and continued to live as a stranger in a foreign land. As those who trust in Jesus, we too are called to live as strangers in a foreign land because this world is not our home. We are called to live among people who have very different beliefs from us and very, very different priorities. And as we do so, we are called to live in such a way that we see that we shine the hope that we have in Jesus so that they might see what we have and want it for themselves. As a foreigner in a strange land, Abraham, he wasn't allowed to own any land of his own. And so if Abraham was going to do what God had called him to do, to stay in the land that God had shown him, he would have to go and negotiate with the Hittites. And so as someone who had no rights to own any land because he was a stranger and a foreigner in that place, but who was trusting in God's promise that his descendants would inherit the land, Abraham went to the Hittites in faith, in the hope of negotiating the purchase of a bit of land in the place that God had shown him. And so lastly, trusting in God's promise means living for a future hope. Abraham went to the gate of the city, which back then was the place where all sorts of important deals and decisions were made. And he asked them to sell him some land so that he could bury his dead. But the Hittites said to him, "Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead." Now that sounds like a really generous offer. But the Hittites wanted Abraham and his household to stay in their land for what they could get out of it. The fact that Abraham was really wealthy because God was blessing him. And if Abraham was to bury his wife among the Hittites, then he would surely stay in that place for a long time. And they also knew that if they were to give this tomb to Abraham, well, they could take it back any time they liked, because he was, after all, a foreigner, a stranger in their land. And so Abraham asked them again, "If you're willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf so that he will sell me the cave at Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you." But as it turns out, Ephron was sitting there amongst all the people assembled at the gate of the city. At first, Ephron told Abraham that he could just have the field, which seems to be a bit of a negotiation tactic on Ephron's part. But Abraham said, "Listen to me, if you will. I will pay the full price of the field. Accept it from me so that I can bury my dead." Abraham knew that unless he was allowed to pay for this field in front of all the people assembled at the gate of the city, they could take it back just as easily as they gave it to him. Ephron replied to Abraham, "Listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. But what is that between me and you? Bury your dead." Now, 400 shekels of silver was an exorbitant amount of money to pay for that property. David actually only paid 50 shekels of silver for the original Temple Mount. Ephron was certainly taking Abraham for a ride here, because he was a stranger and a foreigner in their land. But Abraham was more than willing to pay whatever price they asked for this burial site for Sarah. And to make sure that no one could question whether it was his property or not, Abraham right there and then weighed out all of the silver in front of all the people assembled at the gate. Because as Abraham bought that field and that cave, he wasn't just buying a bit of land to bury his wife. He was looking forward to a future hope, one that God had promised but had not yet been fulfilled. Abraham knew that God had promised that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. He didn't know how this was going to happen, and he knew that it was going to be a long way off. But as Abraham bought this burial site for his wife, he was looking forward to a future hope in faith that God would fulfill every one of his promises. By faith, Abraham buried Sarah in that field at Mamre as he looked forward to a future hope. And by faith, Isaac would later bury Abraham in that same place. By faith, Jacob buried Isaac in that place. By faith, Jacob told his sons to bury him in that same place. And then later, Joseph made his sons swear that to carry his bones from Egypt back into the land, which their descendants did 430 years later. But Abraham's hope wasn't just in this bit of land in Canaan. Just as the hope of those who trust in Jesus shouldn't be in any earthly place or property or wealth, Abraham was looking forward to the day when God would fulfill every one of his promises. As Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 reminds us, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Like Abraham, the hope of those who trust in Jesus is of a nation, a land, and a blessing. But not an earthly, physical nation, land, and blessing, something far greater than that. The nation is the nation that Revelation chapter 7 speaks of. The nation that is made up of people from every nation, every tribe, of all different age groups, who trust in the promise that God fulfilled through Jesus. The land is the new heaven and the new earth that Revelation 21 speaks about, where God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And the blessing is life forever in God's presence, as Revelation chapter 14 describes, when it says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. As those who trust in Jesus, we are called to live in this world as foreigners in a strange land. We aren't meant to spend our lives making ourselves wealthy, comfortable, and prosperous. We've been called to spend our lives serving our great God and King out of thankfulness for what he has done for us through Jesus. We are called to live our lives for this future hope, knowing that we probably won't see all of God's promises fulfilled before we die. That is, unless Jesus returns before we die. And we are called to live for this future hope through faith in the fact that God is always faithful to his promises. And so today's passage is a comfort to those in Christ when they face times of grief, because these verses remind us that this world is not all there is, and that we do not grieve without hope, because our hope is in Jesus, who has defeated the power of sin and death for those who trust in him. If we have faith in him, then we can find comfort in knowing that we will see him when we die, and we'll be in his perfect presence forever. Death is a new beginning for those who trust in Jesus. These verses remind us that we are strangers in a foreign land, that our calling is not to make ourselves comfortable in this life, but to point those who don't yet know Jesus to the hope that we have received. We're being reminded to hold on to the things of this life loosely. As Jesus says in Matthew, to not store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but instead to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So I'm going to finish with these last two questions of reflection. Are we investing our lives in what matters, in things that are eternal? Is that our priority? Or are we living our lives for things that will pass away? Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would help us not to waste our lives, not to become so comfortable, so invested in the things of this life, that we lose sight of who you are and what you have called us to do as your people. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live as foreigners in a strange land, people who have a far greater hope than this life could ever hope to offer. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on that hope, that it might shape, guide us, and define our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.